This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Wednesday, November 19th, 2014 edition of Invest Talk, and I welcome all of our listeners from around the world listening online on investtalk.com or maybe via podcast on iTunes or many of the other ways that you can get podcast feeds these days, and those listening on a terrestrial station in California. Now, I'm happy you're all with us today on this edition of Invest Talk, and as usual, our goal is to help you make good financial decisions by informing you as best we can about what's going on in the marketplace today, and giving you some perspective and some guidance in a very complex world. You know, the world is becoming ever more intertwined. You know, globalization has really taken over, and what happens in one part of the world affects another part of the world. That's one of the reasons why makes it so interesting for me to do what I do, do what we do here on Invest Talk, and what we do with KPU Financial is understanding the world as a whole, and that's what makes it great. So we have some great talking points today and some great things to discuss, and ultimately we want to hear from you. You know, this is about the average person. It's why we do this show. It's hard. Everyone works hard. They do their best to make good financial decisions and save money. But it's not easy. We understand that. And that's why we do our best here to answer any of your questions, because I know there are a lot of questions out there, and you can always get through and answer them. 888-99-CHART is our number, whether you're listening to us live from 4 to 5 Pacific time or you're listening after hours. You can always leave a message. We will answer it on the next show. So please get involved. Now, the investing environment is always in flux, and one of the moving parts, the ever-moving parts, is the international investing climate. Today we're going to spend a few minutes talking about India. Forbes magazine says investors haven't been this bullish on India since 2003. You know, that boom spun to a stop with the crash of 2008, right? Most emerging markets really took a dive. And if you followed the world recovery since then, you'll see that it went well for many emerging markets due to stimulus packages and China's demand for commodities, except for India. GDP growth went from 10% a year in 2010 down to 5% in 2013. So that decline was not good for India or India stocks. So foreign direct investment in the country declined by 30% from its 2008 levels. But 2 years later, it's a different story. So we're going to take a closer look at India as we look for opportunities around the globe. But for now, let's hear your voice, and we want to get it on the program as many times as we possibly can. So we're going to move on and take a question now from our 24-hour listener line. This came in after yesterday's program at 888-99-CHART.
I got a question on if I wanted to short an American bank stock, does you do that daily or you do that monthly or and how do you do it?
Okay, if you're going to look to short any stock, it doesn't have to be a banking stock. The first thing you have to do is you have to have a brokerage account. You have to have some money in there. You have to have a margin agreement with that, with your broker, so that account has to be marginable. Can't be in any tax-deferred account like an IRA, Roth IRA, 401k, anything that's tax deferred, you can't have. It can't be. It's not a marginable account. Those cannot be marginable. So that means you can't borrow money. And in order to short a stock, you have to not necessarily borrow money. You got to borrow the stock. You have to borrow the stock from the broker and say, okay, you can go borrow the stock and you go sell it out in the marketplace. And you do that on a daily. I mean, you just, any day you want to do it, go out there in the marketplace when the market's open and short that particular stock. So that's how you do it. It's not that complex, but you just have to have the right account open and with enough money in it and have a margin agreement on that account, and you can short that particular stock. And it's got to be available. Sometimes certain stocks are not available. A lot of IPOs, it takes a while before they're available to short. If there is a lot of people trying to short an individual name, sometimes it can't be shorted because they've lent all their stock out. So they don't have any shares to short. So just give you an idea how that works and hope that answered your question. Now, should you join the march back to India? It's one of our main talking points today. That's what we're going to definitely discuss, but there are some other things as well that I want to get onto. One is central banks. Are they the new gold bug? They've been buying a lot of gold, and I'm going to kind of talk a little bit about it. Why might they be doing it? I think it's interesting to take note of that. And then the Fed announcement came out today. And that was interesting to see what they are worried about. What's on their mind? What are they focusing on to make sure that they have their policy correct for the current market environment? And then what else? Long-term care? Do you need long-term care after all? I think that'd be something good to discuss. But ultimately, I want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is our number. 888-992-4278 is the number to get through and ask your question. But let's take a quick look at today's market. The S&P closed down 3 points, the NASDAQ was down 26 points, and the Dow was down 2. So a modest down day, and it was really down most of the day. The S&P was down the whole day. The Dow was down most of the day. And it was really all about the Fed minutes. Fed minutes came out, and they're still worried about lack of inflation, which is always kind of wild to me that they're so worried about lack of inflation. What else did they talk about? Talked about unemployment. They talked about the weaker economic outlook abroad, which they think will be, our impact on the U.S. economy will likely be limited. But overall, the market didn't like that they discussed a little bit about how they shouldn't be there during market volatility. The market gets volatile, don't panic and, you know, try to save the market like they have in the past, which I don't think the market liked. But overall, it was kind of a muted reaction, not too many big swings. You know, it swung, but they weren't giant swings in the market. So that was really the market today. You had some housing starts report this morning that wasn't terribly bad. Wasn't terribly great. And the home builders were flat. So that was the big economic news. But ultimately it comes down to the Fed. So that was what everybody was interested in. Now, as we preach many times, debt can weigh you down, get in the way of achieving financial freedom. And we have a success story for you on Invest Talk Personal later in the hour. I think that'll be good to go over. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us right now with your money topic.
Now more Invest Talk. And from the Invest Talk Newswire, despite concerns of some commissioners that a rule doesn't go far enough, the Securities and Exchange Commission on Wednesday voted unanimously in favor of regulations designed to ensure the technology at stock exchanges works. Is that a topic you want to discuss? Check in with Justin right now at 888-99-CHART.
Let's go to David in Sonoma. How you doing, David?
Good, Justin. How you doing?
Doing great. What can I do for you?
So I've got a question here. I've got an IRA.
Okay.
Right? And part of that IRA, I have a brokerage account that I can buy and sell stocks in. Mm-hmm. Okay, so my question is, if I buy a stock today and sell it in a week and then move those funds back into the what they call, I guess, the sweep account.
Okay.
Is there any tax issues with that?
So is this all within your IRA?
Yes.
Then no. There's no tax consequences.
Okay, so the only time there's a tax consequence is when I actually take funds out of the IRA?
Exactly. That's the only time you're going to have any tax consequences. That's kind of one of the whole points of an IRA is that, you know, all capital gains, there's no capital gains tax. It's just all taxed at the end when you take the money out. Once you get 59 and a half, you can start taking that money out, and you pay tax on what you withdraw. What you withdraw, and that's income to you.
Right, okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling, David. Now, our main talking point today is about India. India's been kind of a hot topic lately, mainly because of a new prime minister. Let's see if I can get the name right. Narendra Modi, and he was elected prime minister because he's been very successful. He was the mayor or the governor of a particular state or region inside India, and it did very well economically because of his reforms. And the hope or the optimism surrounding India at the moment is on the backs of that he is going to change the economic fortunes of India for the better over the, you know, longer term as a country as a whole, not just that particular state. And so investors haven't been this bullish on India since 2003. Now, we kind of seen this before, that, you know, GDP growth was 10% in 2010, and fell to 5% in 2013. And foreign direct investment declined by 30% from its 2008 levels, 2013. So you can see that the sentiment on India fluctuates widely. And one of the big reasons is because the World Bank ranks India last, dead last in terms of ability to enforce contracts and in the ease of doing business, which includes regulatory approval and permits. So the hope is that new Prime Minister Modi will change that for the better and get growth back going in India. So we're going to talk about that more coming up. Listen on the go to the TuneIn Radio app. You can download it for free. Just go to investtalk.com.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. Experimenting with examples of asset mixes can show you where your portfolio shines and where it doesn't. The asset allocation puzzle, that's our talking point on the next Invest Talk, and we hope you'll join us then. Now we continue with Invest Talk, and you're invited to bring any money question to Justin right now, 888-99-CHART.
Now, our podcast listeners can check in with their questions anytime, 24 hours a day. Same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve, this is Lou from New Jersey. I was thinking about playing the forecasted cold winter and its effect on gas prices. I was thinking about playing Southwestern Energy Company, symbol is SWN. If you like it, what does the chart tell you that a good entry price would be? Love your show. Thanks. Bye.
All right, he's looking at Southwestern Energy, and in fact, that's a company that we recently purchased for our clients. I think we bought it a little bit lower than it is today. I had a big spike earlier this month, and it's come down a little bit with natural gas prices, but natural gas prices have stayed pretty strong, and we think that natural gas prices will go higher, and we like the company and type of earnings power it has, and it is relatively cheap compared to history, and modest amount of debt. Biggest, I think, hang up would be it doesn't pay a dividend. You know, for an energy company, you'd like to see some sort of a dividend. It doesn't have to be gigantic, but something. So we would like that, but, you know, ultimately it was something that we were a fan of, and I think this is a good entry point for Southwestern Energy. SWN is the symbol. I think it's a good long-term play. Now, our talking point today is about India and understanding what's going on over there and why there's so much more optimism recently over the improvements or potential improvements that will be made in India because of the new Prime Minister Modi, who has been business-friendly before, and his reforms have done well in certain parts of India, and I think it'll be interesting to see if he can make the same types of reforms broadly as he did in, you know, more specific part of the country, as it's a different political climate from a local politician to, you know, the prime minister of one of the largest countries in the world with the most people in the world, or I think it's the second most people in the world. So there's a lot of people, a lot of young people in India, but you got to remember the GDP per capita is under $2,000 annually. $2,000 annually. Think about that. Per person. So much the average person makes less than $2,000 a year. So very, very low amount, you know, what's that, $7 a day, if that, $6, $7 a day, the average person makes, not a lot of money. So they're working from a very low base, so that means there's a lot of potential on the upside, that's positive. But like I said before the break, the World Bank ranks India last in terms of the ability to enforce contracts and the ease of doing business because of regulatory approval problems and headaches and the ability to get permits to build things and do things. And that's a huge problem. 69% of respondents to the 2013 Ernst & Young survey said fraud is an inevitable cost of doing business in India. So there's a lot of fraud, red tape, a lot of problems with corrupt politicians. And this causes people to not have a lot of faith in how productive their money is going to be. And that's an issue. 67% of foreign direct investment in India went to services, service sector. 19% went to industry. 14% went into agribusiness. And there's some caps on foreign direct investment in certain industries like defense. You can't own more than 49% of a certain business in a certain industry. In the defense industry, to be exact. The cap on banking is 74%, meaning you can only own 74% of a business inside of India, a banking business. Otherwise, you got to find partners that are Indian companies to work with. And there's a lot of big companies that have gone in there to try to do this. A lot of big companies. Diageo, Walmart, what else? A lot of companies that are going to do this. And Walmart actually just abandoned their partnership. They abandoned their partnership with their partner. I'm trying to remember who it was. But a partner in India, because they kind of strung them along. And they realized we're not going to be able to open up any big stores in India anytime soon. Because in India, there's a lot of one-off little mom-and-pop shops. And they're proud of that. You know, think of the local liquor store, but think of it selling a lot more things besides just snacks and alcohol and beverages. They have a lot of little shops like that. And there's big uproar that Walmart's going to come in there and put a lot of those companies out of business. So there's some worry about that. So I think the optimism longer term for India is actually well-founded, because I do think the president will have some traction in improving a business there, but I don't think it will be happen overnight. It's going to take a while. He's probably not going to have as much success as he did locally. So is India a good investment? I think in the longer term, yes. Short term, it's probably overbought, and if emerging markets broadly get hit, they'll go right along with it. So just be aware of that. Now, do you have a question about fundamental analysis, about when to sell a stock? Give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
This is the Wednesday, November 19th edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Justin Klein. Experimenting with examples of asset mixes can show you where your portfolio shines and where it tanks. The asset allocation puzzle, that's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. Please join us then. Of course, there's still plenty of time today to get in touch. 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have about 25 minutes left in the show, so please get your call in sooner rather than later. Try not to wait till the last 5 minutes. I know a lot of people do, but try to get your call in now. Now it's time for Invest Talk Personal, the day-to-day money decisions we make that can have lasting impact on our lives. This is a story of man versus debt. Man versus Debt, and it was published on credit.com. And it's a good object lesson. Steve and I both preached on this topic many times as being key to financial success. And this story is about Austin Netsley, who is now 28 years old, at least at the writing of this post on credit.com. And he thinks of himself as retired. He doesn't have to work anymore. Instead, he writes books. Flashback to 2008, that's the starting point of his journey. Austin had $72,000 in student loans and a used Honda with a $9,000 auto loan. He said the very first step in getting rid of debt is to make a commitment to doing it and get serious about attacking it. So it's really about anything in life. It's about having the right mindset. And his advice is, first, get clear on debts. Get a credit report and define who every debt is with, the interest rate, and the balance. And he chose to pay off the debts with the highest interest rate first, which is what we always preach on this show. Focus on the highest interest rates first. Then find the method that works for you and make a commitment to get rid of the debt. And plan it out. Say, okay, I'm going to put this much towards this debt every single month. And I'm going to get rid of this one first, and this is the month I'm going to get rid of it. And then I'm going to get rid of this one, and this is the month I'm going to get rid of that one. And you got to calculate the interest that you're still accruing while you're paying that all off, and figure out exactly when you're going to be done. And this is important. And it's the way to financial freedom, he says. And it makes more than is making more than you spend and investing the difference wisely. But debt payoff wasn't his sole goal. He was also looking to create wealth, and he understood time was on his side, meaning the sooner he could invest, the more time the money would have to grow. And his first job after college, he signed up immediately for a 401k, first putting away 12% of his salary, and then 16% of his salary. But sometimes he would just pay the minimums, preferring to invest. But then he said he just got tired of having the debt and focused on getting it paid off. So 2 years and 10 months after he graduated from college, he paid off all of the $81,000 in debt. And the lesson is to make a commitment. Like I said before, it's about having the right mindset. It's something that can be done. And it really will change your life. Having no debt is liberating. It really is. So that's Invest Talk Personal. If there's a money topic you'd like to hear more about, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Contact Justin button, and then write me a note about it, and we'll make sure to tackle it on the next program. Maybe you have a debt-busting success story. We'd love to hear it. Get in touch at 888-99-CHART. Now let's get back to the phones. That's our number one job. Bring your questions to the world. Try to answer them coming up. Mike called in from Escondido.
I'd like to know about Sysco Foods, S-Y-Y. If you could give me a fundamental on that, okay? If you work for the company, you get 15% off the stock price. But the fundamentals I don't like, okay? With the 15% off, should I still buy shares of the company? Thank you.
All right, sounds like he works for Cisco, I'm assuming Mike works for Cisco. And this isn't Cisco, the tech company in Silicon Valley. This is Cisco Corporation, S-Y-Y, out of Houston, Texas. They distribute food and related products to the food service industry via 194 distribution centers. Very large company, about a $23 billion market cap. I like this company. Are the fundamentals great? No, but this is one of those boring businesses, really. It's not a very exciting, but it's understandable. They distribute napkins and various things that help companies, you know, run restaurants, run businesses. It's not a high margin business. Their net margins are 2%. 2%. But they turn over their assets constantly. I mean, they acquire assets and they distribute it out to the people that need it, or the companies that need it, and they make their 2%. So the fundamentals, yeah, they're not fantastic, but they still create strong cash flow. About $1 billion in free cash flow per year. And that's pretty good for a company that's $23 billion in this environment. Yields 3%. It's expensive, 21 PE. But you're getting a 15% discount, so that's nice. I think acquiring this at a 50% discount is fine. I like it. If you work for them and you get that discount and it's a part of your portfolio, maybe 5-10% of your total 401k or retirement account max, no more than 10%. I like 5. 5 is a good number. So, you know, I think that's not a bad strategy. It's not a high flyer. You're not going to get tremendous growth out of this name, but you will get a steady dividend. You will get a business that is still good, even though, you know, it's not super, super profitable, but they still create a lot of cash for the shareholders. And that ultimately is what you want. You want underlying cash flow, because that's what goes back into the bottom line of the company, or into the balance sheet of the company. And that's what will improve shareholder value over the long, long term. So I think it's a good company. Is this an expensive time to invest in it? probably a little bit on the expensive side. But if your goal is longer term and you're buying this consistently at a 15% discount, I think that's a good way to go. Now on investtalk.com, you'll see a big blue box with each day's talking point topic. There's the topic and the description, so you can see what we discussed for that day. And if it's after the day's program, you can click on the Play Now button and hear the program played back.
Above average investing for the average investor. Don't settle for second-rate results. Do what you need to do to reduce risk and improve performance. Can we help with that? We're here for you at 888-99-CHART. This is InvestTalk.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, the Fed minutes came out today, and they were pretty interesting. Now, in the report, in the Fed minutes, so for everyone out there, what is the Fed minutes? When I say the Fed minutes came out, what does that mean? Well, the Federal Reserve Board, they meet about every 6 weeks, and they determine monetary policy, right? And they met at the end of last month, and they ended QE. And then usually about 3 weeks after, they'll release minutes. What did they talk about during that meeting? And it's always, the market always likes to get a little more in-depth view of what individual members of the FOMC want to see or what they're thinking. And they usually react to it to some degree. That's not the exact word for word. They filtered a little bit and kind of put out a broad report on what was discussed. And in this last report, it said many participants observed that the committee should remain attentive to evidence of a possible downward shift in long-term inflation expectations. Some of them noted that if such an outcome occurred, it would be even more worrisome than if growth faltered. So they're more worried about a potential downshift in inflation than they are about downshift in growth. Okay. Now, while unemployment has fallen much faster than forecasted, but their inflation expectations have remained below the Fed's 2% goal for 29 straight months, and the pace of increases has been slowing, meaning inflation still remains pretty benign. And you're going to see that in the energy industry pretty much. But I think if you look at food inflation is there. Food inflation is definitely there. You have asset inflation with stocks and real estate prices. That's certainly there. So I think Fed is kind of misguided on what they look at when it comes to inflation overall. Now, the markets don't believe in the Fed's ability to push inflation up to 2%. And that's kind of a concern for the board members. But they did think that inflation expectations were what they called well-anchored, meaning wasn't moving much either way. But they're more worried about moving on the downside. So they're worried about in the future it going down, but they realize that what in their minds that today inflation isn't moving too much. And they express confidence that the pace of increases would move up towards their goal. So they're confident it'll happen, but they're worried about it. It's kind of, they talk out of both sides of their mouth. It's very, very interesting. Their biggest worry is, it looks like when it comes to growth, is not here in the U.S. It's Europe, China, and Japan. So while policymakers last month pointed to a somewhat weaker economic outlook and increased downside risks in Europe, China, and Japan, they judge the impact on the U.S. economy will be likely limited, or quite limited. so they don't think it'll have too much of an effect. So that was a quick overview of the Fed minutes that came out today, and good idea of what they're thinking, which I think it's all over the board when it comes to inflation. And when it comes to growth, they are cautiously optimistic. Cautiously optimistic. 888-99-CHART is how to reach us now with your question or investing story. By the numbers, that's 888-992-4278, and you can reach us 24 hours a day. Gary checked in from Camp Pendleton in northern San Diego County.
Hi, just have a question on what should I be doing. I have no debt. I have $40,000 in the bank, and I have I maxed out on my Roth IRA contribution. We're looking at purchasing the house, my wife and I, but we just have our money pretty much just sitting. So if you can address that, I appreciate it, and thank you very much.
Well, if your money is just sitting and that $40,000 is going to be going towards a house in the relatively near future, and when I say relatively near future, I mean, you know, next 2 years, you don't want to be doing much with that $40,000. You don't want to be taking a lot of risk. So you want to either have it in some sort of a money market account, or you want to have it in some CDs, potentially, with maturities around when you might want to buy a house. So that sounds like what that $40,000 is meant for. If not, then you know you should start thinking about dollar cost averaging into a diversified number of mutual funds for the long term. That's what you should be doing in your Roth. A diversified number of mutual funds, ETFs. But if that $40,000 is for buying a home, you don't want to risk losing any of it. So try to make sure you keep an eye on safety, because remember, when you're investing, it's all about your time horizon. And if that time horizon is 1 to 2 years, safety is your ultimate concern. If your time horizon is 20, 30 years, then it should be about growth. So it just depends on what you're looking for. Now we're moving into the last segment of the hour. So let's see if we can get your question answered before the day is done. We want to hear from you. We have about 8 more minutes left in the show. We're going to go to break here in just a moment. But I want to hear from you. I want to know what is on your mind. What are you thinking about? Individual stock? Should you save more? What debts to pay off? Should you buy a house? Should you buy that big boat? Should you buy that toy that you're thinking about? Motorcycle, whatever it is. Give us a call. Lines are open for you to get in now at 888-99-CHART.
You're listening to our podcast produced 5 days a week, and we thank you for being here. Also, if you'd like a professional review of your retirement portfolio, even though you may live out of range of our California offices, it can still be done using email, fax, and phone. To begin the process, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Schedule a Meeting heading under Steve's picture, and someone will get right back to you. Now we continue with Invest Talk with portfolio manager Justin Klein on this Wednesday. You can check Steve's retirement review schedule anytime on investtalk.com and then click on Schedule a Meeting. You can get together in Northern or Southern California or anywhere, as a matter of fact, on Skype. The process starts right there on investtalk.com.
Let's talk about a lot of people's favorite investing guru. It's Warren Buffett. And I think there was a great article that I read, and it listed 10 of the best quotes from Warren Buffett. And I'm not going to read all of them, but I want to discuss a few. And I think a lot of people will be will gain some good, insightful perspective when it comes to investing. He says, price is what you pay, value is what you get. Listen to that again. Price is what you pay, value is what you get. So remember that when you're purchasing not just a stock, but anything, price is not value. They're separate. So you have to understand that when a stock is trading at an X price on an exchange, doesn't mean that it's worth that. It might be worth more, or it might be worth less. Likely it will be more or less. You, as an investor, have to figure out what the true value of that business is. And it is difficult. It's very difficult. It's not the simplest thing to do. But realize that there is a difference between price and value, and be able to distinguish between the two. Number three is, it's far better to buy a wonderful company at a fair price than a fair company at a wonderful price. Meaning, it's all about the business that you're buying. You need to be able to find good, solid companies that have staying power, that are going to last decades, that throw off strong earnings and cash flow. And if you do that, you will make good, smart investing decisions. Number four, try to buy stock and business that are so wonderful that an idiot can run them, because sooner or later, one will. I love this one. Because it's true, there's always going to be, every company has a new management CEO comes along that probably shouldn't be there for whatever reason. Maybe it's experience, maybe it's just a bad fit. Maybe it's not a bright guy or woman. And if the business is sound and the business makes sense, it's going to be a lot harder for them to mess it up. So it's really about, you know, finding good brands, sustainable businesses that will last a long time. Number six, you can't make a good deal with a bad person. And this goes, you know, maybe more back to your general life, making good decisions with your money. Are you dealing with good people or bad people? A bad person, you know, you're probably going to have a hard time making a great deal for yourself. So it goes back to, you know, knowing that individual. You know, in Warren's case, it's all about when he buys out a company, because he's buying big companies. You know, he bought Burlington Northern recently. So let's try to answer one more question before we're done for this hour. 888. Oh, we don't have enough time. All right, well, then I'll get to some more. I'll get to some more. One more quote before we. One of the last ones. The most important thing to do if you find yourself in a hole is to stop digging. So you find yourself going the wrong direction, hit the brakes, go another direction. And number 10, I like also, I always knew I was going to be rich. I don't think I ever doubted it for a minute. Confidence and mindset is very, very key. Now, before we close the hour, Steve is in San Ramon today meeting with individual listeners. He's reviewing their portfolios, their retirement portfolios. He'll be setting new dates soon for Northern and Southern California. If you'd like to get on the calendar, just go to investtalk.com, click on the schedule a meeting button. I'm portfolio manager Justin Klein on behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP Financial. We thank you for listening, and we hope you'll join us again on the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program,
it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.